Hey, good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing this evening? There you go. Hey, I love that last song. When I'm down, you lift me up. Like, that's a solid reminder, right? We come in, we don't know, you know, where everybody came from. We don't know how your day went, but we know when we are down that Jesus will lift us back up when we turn to him. So, Jesus, we just thank you for that. Hey, real quick, Grace Meadows is such a giving church. It gives and it serves. And so just a huge thank you for all that you contribute to our missions partners and to our local partners. It makes a difference. Ministries like Fish, ministries like FCA, The Well, LXI, they're all seeing kids' lives change. They're changing, and it's happening in a big way. Now, that doesn't discount from our international partners. They're making huge waves as well. But truly, 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 thank you guys. Like, 50% of our budget goes to missions, and it makes a huge impact. So please, if you hear anything else I say this evening, praise Jesus and thank you guys for serving Jesus well and loving our partners well. We do have two trips coming up in 2025, and so if you're interested in anything about those, please reach out, let me know. I would love to have a conversation with you about that. And if you're interested in missions in any way, again, please reach out. I would love to talk with you all about that as well. So we're going to wrap up our Names of God series this evening, and we're going to be talking about peace. Peace is so very difficult, I think, in my opinion, to find today. We have like 24-hour news cycles. We have election pollings right now. We got debates. We've got political ads. We have your particular news source of choice, and they're just giving you this constant feed of whatever their opinion or viewpoint is on that. You've got so much about this is good and this is bad, or this candidate or this product or this, and all of those things, they're just telling us what we don't have, what we aren't, or what we should have, and all it really does is cause, in my opinion, internal turmoil, anxiety, stress, depression, and that is something that just robs us of peace. See, we exist in a world that is constantly changing. It is constantly moving, constantly turning into something different. And it is really easy for us to lose our compass. It is really easy for us to get lost in the comparison games on social media, to be drowning in the constant news cycles or the political things or the social media ads and thinking what we don't have, what we do. I remember several months ago, Tara, you were talking about like the ad and you ordered something and you were like, I don't even know why I have this, because it was telling you you didn't have it, right? And we get stuck in these things, but that robs us of our peace. It robs us of our stillness in God. This talk tonight is not about why news is bad or why political ads are bad or why social media is bad. It's really not. It's about the things that we have externally that rob us of our internal peace. That is what I hope we can talk about this evening. The things that happen externally to us that cause us stress and anxiety and fear, and loneliness, and sadness, shame, heartbreak. We're gonna experience times of divorce, losses of jobs, health crises, mental health moments, family stressors, but this is truly about who and what should be our focus when the world around us is crazy and is chaos. What lens are we wearing? What ears are we using as we hear and interpret what is happening around us? I liken it to a hurricane that we're getting ready to experience or whatever's happening now, and we have to find what we focus on when everything around us is in chaos. So a little active participation this evening. We're gonna work on a little bit active participation. So will everyone say this with me? Shalom.
Shalom.
Right. Peace. Thank you, Caitlin. I appreciate your interactive. That made me feel better. Thanks. That's what I like about Wednesday night. Like you guys are good. You're interactive. So before we get too much in this, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this evening as we explore your names and as we wrap up the series, God, help us to just set aside the things that we brought in, those things that cause us stress, that cause us anxiety, those comparison things, those never-ending to-do lists, the things that are truly separating us from you. Help us to set those aside. And then, Jesus, to hand them to you so we can exchange our stressors, our anxieties for your peace. God, help us to know that you are peace, that you offer it to us, and that it ultimately is your peace that we need and desire. God, we thank you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to be heavy in the scriptures this evening, and in case you missed it, we are going to be talking about Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord is peace. So that is where we will be. So if you will please take out your Bibles, and the scriptures will be up on the screen. We're going to be in Judges, and we're going to be in chapter 6, and we're going to be in 11 through 24, and there's going to be about 13 verses that we're going to read this evening together. So I will start here in 11. It says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' Gideon says, 'Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turns to him and says, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replies, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answers, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.' Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait until you return.' Gideon went inside, and he prepared a young goat from an ephah of flour. He made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and in its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth.' And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said to him, 'Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it, 'The Lord is Peace.'" I want to tell you all a few things. I have a couple pink little notes in here, and they are the tricky words, okay? So, yeah, just in case you're curious, I did that, all right? So, I had to listen to it 50 times to get it right and write it down. All right, so I just want to catch you guys up. So, the Israelites have been completely oppressed by the Midianites in the land, because they had done all the evil things in the Lord's eyes. So the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years, resulting in seeking shelter when the Midianite peoples came through. They devoured their livestock. They devoured their crops. They consumed and destroyed everything that the Israelites had. And so what we're seeing here is Gideon is laboring to get some wheat in a very protected area down into a wine press, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And we pick this up in verse 12. "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" See, the angel of the Lord announces his presence to Gideon, already calling him by his gifting, mighty warrior. The Lord is speaking to Gideon as who he would become, not who he currently is. We move on to 13. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us?" Gideon goes on to respectfully ask because he feels as though the Lord has truly abandoned Israel. The Lord turned to him and he says, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" See, we see God speaking directly to Gideon with the command, "Go in the strength of yours and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" The Lord is speaking directly to him, commanding Gideon to go. See, the Lord is speaking to Gideon in the Lord's confidence, in his knowledge. "Gideon, go in the strength that I am giving you." He was telling Gideon that he has been gifted what he needs, and he wraps all of it up with this: "Am I not sending you? Am I not sending you?" Man, what would it feel like to know that you've been given a gift and where it comes from? That would be God's confidence there, remembering God is qualifying those who he has called. We pick it up in 15. "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel?" And he says, "My clan, my people, we are the weakest, and I myself, I am the smallest, I am the least of my father's house. Almost as if he is complaining and questioning the angel of the Lord, like, "You talking to me? Like me? I? Little old me. You want me to save Israel?" See, we are the weakest people, and even above that, I am the least, the smallest in my father's house. Man, what doubt did he experience in that moment? I mean, how many of us can relate to that? Like, how many of us have heard or been asked to do something, and you think, surely to goodness, you are not really talking to me. Like, you are not asking me. Like, dude, you got the wrong guy here. You start to feel that insecurity well up in you. You start to feel that anxiety well up in you, kind of like I did right before I came up here. You start to feel your heart rate go up, and you can't do anything about that feeling in your chest and in your mind. That emotion is stirring. I kind of liken it to, should I leave my job? Should I marry this person? Should I leave that nasty sin habit? The answer is yes, always yes, by the way. Should I answer that call in my life to go into the mission field? Who am I? I'm the smallest and the weakest from the smallest and the weakest. Do you really mean me? We pick it up in 16. The Lord answers, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." What is the Lord's response here? "I will be with you." See, what comfort it is to hear those words. I will tell you in my own life that I did not have the best relationship with my father, and that created a lot of doubt and hesitation in my acceptance of God. But imagine those words, "I will be with you." I remember teaching Hugh to ride his bike, or some of the first times that he was out on the golf course, and I could see how he was showing his doubt or showing his insecurity. I could see the stress happening. And I remember Susan and I saying, "Hey, buddy, it's okay. Mom and Dad are right here with you." And something changed in him in that moment. He drilled down. His face was different. His jaw was different. He rode his bike and he played golf like he was gifted to do. Something changed in that moment. Imagine how Gideon felt in that moment to hear, "I will be with you." Imagine the peace that sit in on him in that time. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me." Now, I love this part of the story. And I don't know how many of us find ourselves in this scenario, but I definitely saw myself. God says, "I am here with you." And we're like, awesome. All right, I can do this. Okay? But then we start to do what? We start to question. We start to struggle with our insecurities again. We start to let anxiety and doubt creep in. So what do we do? What did he do? He asked for a sign, right? God shows us, and I, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful moments of patience in this story, as Gideon asked God to show him a sign. He goes and he gathers the meat and the unleavened bread and a broth, and he presents it to the angel of the Lord upon the rock, as he was instructed. And with the staff in his hand, he sets it ablaze, and Gideon immediately reacts to his recognition of the presence of the Lord. And he says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord says to him, "Peace be to you. Do not be afraid." There it is again. "I am with you. Peace be to you. Don't be afraid." See, the Lord continues to provide. He provides reassurance. He provides his presence. He provides peace in the moment, in the moments when Gideon shows fear, anxiety, doubt. The Lord provides peace for him in that moment. Gideon only thought he was walking alone, but he was never alone. We are never alone in this walk. See, no matter what he calls us into, may it be leaving that negative relationship, may it be walking away from that thing in your life that brings you consuming thoughts, or that distracting thing that takes you away from God and takes you away from your family, or that thing that just creates this burning anxiety or doubt or insecurity, or maybe it's a cancer diagnosis or a health concern, God's reminder here is, I'm with you. Peace be to you. Don't fear that diagnosis. Don't fear leaving that thing behind. Don't fear stepping out in faith into the unknown. Why? Because he says, I, God, I am with you. Peace be to you. I've got this. You're not alone. Gideon's response is to build an altar there at that place and name it the Lord is Peace, where we get the name Jehovah Shalom. There is not enough time for me tonight or in the weeks or the months to come for me to be honest and tell you guys how many times I have missed, that I have chose not, that I have turned my ears off, straight up ignored, or just chose not to engage with God in here. I am with you. Peace be to you. And I'll be honest, I am trying to acknowledge and repent of those shortfalls in my life, and Jesus gives freedom from that. So if those things are happening in your life, know that Jesus gives freedom from that, freedom to hear and to seek those moments. See, God is active in our life if you allow him to be. Psalms 4:8 says, I will lie down in peace and sleep. Lord, you alone make me dwell in safety. In the Psalms, we read that Yahweh has responded in peace to David in his cries. He has enabled him to sleep in safety, in lack of fear, in lack of anxiety, in lack of stress, in lack of discomfort. Man, to rest in peace. When your mind is racing and your anxiety is up, what's the first thing that happens? You don't sleep. You cannot rest because it is just churning and churning and churning. And here we are reminded by the Lord, you're not alone, and there is not me or not anything else that can do anything about it. But the Lord, you alone, can make me dwell in safety and in peace. See, I was in the city of Atlanta recently, and in a particular hotel we were staying in, there was this garden out back, and Hugh and I were out exploring. My wife was shopping for sure, but Hugh and I were exploring the hotel property, and we go out back, and they dedicated this huge space out back of this hotel, and they called it a peace garden. And it was a typical Atlanta day. So if you've ever been to Atlanta, it's about 85 degrees with a 1,000,000% humidity. It's about 10 a.m., so, you know, average day in Atlanta, right? You're melting. And so this, I was like, yeah, we should go check that out. That's shady. It looks cool. So we go in. There's a waterfall. There's these little water features. There's fountains scattered throughout. There's a rock path. It's shady. It's cool. There's these little kind of features scattered throughout. And it really was a different moment than anything else in the concrete jungle that we had been in. In that moment, I forgot about the skyscrapers and the high-rise buildings. I forgot about the 16-lane freeway and the buses and the trains and the airplanes that were going on around me. And I would truly describe it as peaceful. So Hugh is excitedly pointing out all the green plants, and I felt bad for anybody else that was in there because he's like, Dad, look at this. And I was like, hey, it's cool. They're trying to be quiet. Keep going, buddy. You know, so he's got that going on, and I'm like, man, this is peace. But then there was a moment of just profound sadness that hit me. That we as humans felt that we needed to create a space to have peace within us because of the chaos that is outside and around us. We had to create something in such contrast to our surroundings to be able to experience a moment of peace. Now, I'm not knocking your backyard oasis or that particular room in your house that's just yours. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different kind of peace, a peace for our souls. See, I think Steve nailed it on Sunday when he said, we were given an advocate, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, and it's everywhere we go. So what I'm saying is your peace garden, that everlasting peace in God, is in you. See, by my estimation, no more than $500,000 likely went into the creation of this peaceful space, and it was nice. It really was. But my sadness in that moment was that the people may believe that this is as close to peace as they can get inside the hustle of the day. To have a momentary void of the world and its distractions that are producing our stressors. God offers us peace, and it's not just that. He is peace. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord blesses his people with peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." He doesn't say, "Sometimes I will give you peace." He doesn't say, "Hey, it's only for a few of you." He says, "It is for all of you at all times, for all of us." Peace in that diagnosis. Peace in the losing of a loved one. Peace in the loss of a job. Peace in the anxiety and the discomforts. Peace in the battles that we are facing. Psalms 23 is, "The Lord is our shepherd, and he leads us beside green meadows and peaceful waters." See, our peace comes from our contentment, from our security, from our assurance from God for those in relationships with him. We get our peace through God. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." See, just as Gideon heard from the angel of the Lord, we read those same words again in John, and they're for us. "In Jesus, you may have peace. Yes, we will face tribulation. No, it won't always be easy. In fact, the promise is it will be hard. But he gives us the assurance that in me, you may have peace." Galatians 5:22 through 26, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In Jesus, when we live by the Spirit, we get the peace within." The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. See, we must find ways to trust in the names of God, the truth of God, in his reputation, God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. I heard this from John Ortberg, and he's a big fan. He spent a lot of time with Dallas Willard, and he has a lot of friends that have done a lot of doctorals in like psychology and social sciences. And it says, "We have to own the things that we experience. Yes, we must own them, but we must not enthrone them. We must enthrone things like God's peace, but we must not let the anxieties and the anger and the frustrations and the things that we experience in our day-to-day to become enthroned in our lives. Instead, we must choose to focus on God's peace, Jehovah Shalom, peace that comes in those moments when we don't understand, peace in those moments that surpasses our understanding, that we can't just get our head around why we should have peace in these. It is because it is God's peace. It is his peace alone that shines through. It is a characteristic of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a name of God. Peace comes in the contentment and the submission of our way for God's way. That is where peace comes from." Worship team, you can go ahead and make your way back up. But please, we find peace by placing things that separate us from peace into the hands of the Creator, not just simply by asking God for peace to change our circumstances. And I'm going to say that again because I think that's really, really important, and I think it's something we need to take tonight, that we find peace by placing the things that separate us from peace into the hands of God. And we can't just simply ask God to change our circumstances. We place the things that separate us from him to him. We submit ourselves to his way. That is our contentment. That is where our peace comes from. It's the acceptance that we can't control everything, that we can turn over our fears, our anxieties, our lack of trust upon God. I like to think back to Gideon in this when he says, "I come from the weakest people, and I am the least in my father's house." And yet his peace comes in the moments when the Lord says, "I am with you. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid." God is with us. Remember, as we leave this place, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace himself, gives you peace at all times and in every way for those who are in relationship with him. See, we can turn over the things that separate us from peace to him in exchange for his promises. God's promises, I am with you. Don't be afraid. I give you peace. Will you bow your heads with me? Jesus, we thank you this evening for who you are. God, we thank you for this Name of God series, that we can learn a little bit about your names, but where they come from, why they are the way they are, that we can learn things about who you are in your names, your characteristics, the things that we hope to experience, like peace. God, this evening, help us to trade our insecurities, our anxieties. Help us to trade them over in an exchange for you, in an exchange for your peace, and a peace that passes all understanding as we experience the world around us. But God, let us not allow our experiences to become enthroned in our life, but that we enthrone you above all. It's in your name we pray. Amen.